Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path who are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 8. And as always, before we get into God's word, we'll pray. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us through this morning's passage, that you would challenge our hearts, that you would lead us in worship. Now we pray that you would turn us into good soil, ready to hear your word and put it into action. And we pray that you would be guiding us this morning through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. In May of 1954, a British athlete named Roger Bannister became the first ever man to run a mile in under 4 minutes. It didn't take very long before this achievement was seriously challenged. Just 1 month later, an Aussie athlete named John Landy beat Bannister's record by more than 1.4 seconds, which is quite a lot, which meant that a showdown between these two was inevitable. And so in August of that year, they actually got their opportunity in a race that was held in Canada. Bannister and Landy were well in front of the pack, being so fast at what they do. Slightly in front of Bannister, Landy looked like he was a certainty to win the race. But as he approached the finish line, he started to wonder. In the back of his head, he began to wonder, "Where is Bannister? I can't see him around me." And rather than running his race to the end and keeping his eye on that finish line, he gave in to the temptation to looking back, to looking over his shoulder. And just as he did, he tripped, stumbled, and then watched Bannister run through the tape on the finishing line. Later, when Landy was interviewed by the press, he said, If only I hadn't looked back, I would have won that race. But sadly for Landy, he took his eye off the prize and so failed to run the race all the way to the end. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. No one whose eyes are not fixed on the prize of salvation through Christ is able to serve in the kingdom of God. Because there are simply so many things in this life that are trying to distract us." With these words, Jesus was challenging those who were following him to be single-minded in their service and not distracted by earthly things. Just as a long-distance runner is required to have a great deal of focus on the finishing line, we too are called to look to the prize, to the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Those who are followers of Christ are called to persevere to the end, running the race single-mindedly because of the hope that they have received through Christ Jesus. In this morning's passage, Jesus is talking to another large crowd. And as he spoke to the crowd, he told a parable about the kingdom of God. The passage says that he spoke using parables so that those with ears to hear and eyes to see might hear and believe the good news of Jesus and run the race all the way to the end, while those with hard hearts might not hear and understand the message of salvation. In this parable, Jesus is calling those who belong to him, and he is not just calling them so that they might identify as Christians on the next census, but he's calling them to be productive members in the kingdom of God by keeping their eyes on the prize of life forever in him. So as this morning's passage begins, Jesus is travelling from town to town, sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. And as he travels from place to place with his disciples, he had three women who were also with him. These were women who Jesus had healed. And we're told in verse 3 that these three women were supporting Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. Now, of course, Jesus could have asked God the Father for anything that he needed. He could have sent his disciples off to go and earn an income to serve the kingdom. So Jesus didn't really need this financial support. However, what Jesus was doing was allowing these women to show their love for him through the way that they were serving in the kingdom of God. Just like the sinful woman who had washed his feet with her tears and dried with her hair. Jesus was allowing these women to show radical love for their Saviour by providing for the daily needs for him and his disciples as they travelled around sharing the good news. And one day, a large crowd had gathered around Jesus. This crowd was no doubt wondering what Jesus was going to do next. But while this crowd gathered around, Jesus told this parable, a parable about seed and soil. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than what was sown. When Jesus had finished saying these words, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." By saying these words, Jesus was indicating that there would be some who hear these words with their ears, but do not understand this message. And straight away, we would assume that the disciples were among those who heard and understood. what Jesus was saying. But as it turns out, his disciples had no idea what he was talking about either. And so they, when they were given an opportunity, asked him what all this meant. So Jesus answered them, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Sometimes when we read Jesus' parables, we assume that Jesus was using all these different examples to make it easier for people to understand. This is probably because we're so familiar with many of them, having often heard them told and explained since childhood. But that's actually the opposite of why Jesus told parables. In some ways, what he's doing is actually disguising the good news of Jesus in a way that only those whose hearts have been softened by the Holy Spirit are able to believe. While those with hard hearts, even though they might hear with their ears, won't receive or understand the message. And so despite the fact that disciples didn't understand the parable, Jesus explained it to them. Now, we know, of course, that most plants, if not all, begin with a seed. A seed is something that contains all the elements of life, except for a couple of really important ones. The nutrients of the soil, sunlight, and water, the one we often miss. And as we read these verses, we're meant to notice that the actions of the farmer are the same in all four of these instances, just as we heard in the children's chapter. The farmer sows the seed, the seed falls, and where that seed falls determines whether it produces a crop or whether it comes to nothing. Now, the farmer in this parable clearly hadn't programmed his AB lines into his GPS guidance system very well, because his air seeder seems to be shedding seed all over the place. The first lot of seed fell on the path. Now, I don't profess to have a green thumb, but even I know that a path is not a good place to plant a seed. They're usually made of, in those days, usually made of hard, compacted soil or really tightly intermeshed rocks. So hard, in fact, there was no way for a seed to develop any kind of root system. Without any soil, without any way to develop some roots, the seed had no hope of even shooting, let alone surviving. These are the ones who hear the good news of Jesus, but even as the seed is falling, Satan is snatching it away so that it does not reach their hearts. They neither see nor believe in the good news of Jesus. Now, the second lot are those that fell among the rocks. Now, it's extremely difficult to grow anything in rocks because rocky soil has a very low nutrient level. Not to mention how difficult it is for a plant to make its roots go down in between the rocks. And so Jesus explains that these are those who hear the good news of Jesus, and they believe it for a while. They spring up as though they have heard, but because it hasn't taken root in their lives, they soon fall away when the struggles of this life come. The third lot of seed fell among the thorns, and as the thorns and the seed compete for the nutrients in the soil, well, it wasn't long before the seed were choked out by the thorns. These are those who hear the good news of Jesus, but who are led away by their heart's desires for riches and pleasures in this life. And then lastly, there is the seed that fell on good soil. This soil had been worked before. It was aerated. It was nutrient-rich. It had all the necessities for life. And so when the seed was sown, it was established a deep root system, and the plant grew and thrived and produced a crop even greater than that which was sown. Jesus explains that the seed in the good soil are those who hear the good news of Jesus and who retain it, who hold on to it, who recognize how precious it is. And through persevering in their walk with the Lord, will they produce a crop that yields even a greater harvest than that which was sown. And so the first thing this morning's passage is teaching us as those called to be sowers of seed is that as we sow seed, how successful we sow that seed is not up to us. As sowers of the seed, it is the success of sowing that seed is totally up to Jesus. In this parable, the sower simply sowed. He sowed faithfully, he sowed diligently, but he wasn't relying on his or her own abilities as the sower to produce the crop. The sower didn't pick and choose where he sowed because he knew it is Jesus, it is God who works through the Holy Spirit to prepare hearts to hear the good news. Jesus calls those who follow him to share the good news diligently, and how big that crop is totally up to him. Ours is simply to sow the seed and to pray that the one who works the soil through the power of his Holy Spirit would make it grow. Sometimes we do get down. We feel as though if we share the good news of Jesus and nothing happens, then we've either explained it wrong or we've used the wrong method. These verses make it clear that it's God who works the soil, not us. Yet we are called to faithfully share the word wherever and whenever it's possible. The second thing we're being taught here is that we are being challenged to think about which type of soil that we are. The path and the rocky soil were so hard that the seed was unable to take root. God is the one who changes hearts and who works the soil, but we are still responsible for how we receive that good news. The R.C. Sproul once said these words: "We are not saved by a confession of faith, but by the possession of saving faith." I'll say that again. We are not saved by a confession of faith, but by the possession of saving faith. Or in other words, making a profession of faith, saying that we believe in God, means nothing unless we possess saving faith. Faith that is in Christ's completed work on the cross. Faith in his death on our behalf for our sins. Unless God's word has taken root in our lives, then our profession of faith, no matter how public, is able to save us from the guilt of our sins. If our faith is not grounded in Christ's work for us, then there will be nothing to hold us firm in him when trouble comes. We like the seed sown among the thorns. I'm sure we have all felt like this many times, as all the different distractions of this life try and pull us away from the hope we have in Christ Jesus. Are we being drawn away from the good news of Jesus by the things our heart desires? Do we justify to ourselves putting the things of God to one side by telling ourselves we're doing what we have to do just to keep up or to get ahead, while our hearts are being drawn away from the truth? Is our desire for comfort and wealth taking our eyes off the eternal and placing them on the earthly, that which will not last? Or are we like the good soil? Are we striving to be like the good soil, that is nutrient rich, ready to hear God's word, excited by God's word? Are we actively persevering in our walk with the Lord? Are we engaging with God's word regularly, meeting with his people, wanting to be in fellowship around his word? Has God's word taken root in our lives in a way that affects our actions and our priorities? Or have we taken our eyes off the prize? This morning we've been reminded that sharing the good news of Jesus doesn't require any skills or eloquent words, just faithfulness to the message and faithfulness to the task. But as we do have a responsibility for how we receive and respond to the good news of Jesus in our lives. We have been reminded that good soil produces a good crop. This good crop isn't just living a more godly life, but being productive members of God's kingdom as his word works in our hearts. Being people who faithfully grow in the word and sow the seed wherever we can by sharing the good news of Jesus, just as others have shared it with us and continue to encourage us in the Lord. This morning's passage is a very familiar passage, one that would be easy for us to hear and skip over. But it is an encouragement, a challenge to each of us to think about how we are receiving God's word, particularly in this age where we are so bombarded by technology, by interruptions, by busyness. How are we responding to God's word? May we not just be people who made a one-off response to Jesus many years ago, but may our hearts be challenged about how we are living for Jesus now. Following Jesus, living for Jesus, is living a life of response to the one who has saved us through his death on our behalf. So today we are being challenged to be good soil, to be those who are seeking to have God's word sink deep roots into our lives. Will we respond like the three women who were caring for Jesus, as they served because of the gratitude they had for Jesus over what he had done for them? Or will we allow the things of this life to cause us to look back and then stumble? May we continue to follow the Lord, persevering in the faith, seeking to live for Christ, seeking to ground our hope in the eternal rather than the earthly, so that we might run the race to the end, so that we might persevere and receive the prize of life forever in Christ. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would continue to tell us and work us, that you would give us the nutrients that we need to develop deep roots in your word. We pray that you would give us the discipline we need to read your word regularly, that you would help us to not be overcome by the distractions that are all around us. Lord, we pray that you would help us in our quiet times as we read and pray to you. We pray that you would help us as we to seek ways to meet together. We pray that you would inspire us, Lord, to live lives of service in your kingdom through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in your name. Amen.